Well, welcome to another sermon podcast from St. Susie Baptist Church. My name is Dan Walls and I'm the pastor at St. Susie Baptist Church. And it's our desire to see all people from all walks of life come to experience the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. And we pray this message goes some way to blessing you here today, but also goes some way to achieving that in your life here today. Once again, we do pray that this message is a blessing to you. All right, you're all probably wondering, what's that got to do with Christmas? We're going to get there, aren't we? Well, who here's had a Christmas time or a year that's been really significant in the time of their lives? Have you ever had one that stands out amongst the others? Hands up high if you've had one where there's been a significant event, a positive one I'm talking about. Yeah, a few of us, fantastic. I want you to bring those memories to mind. Because it's Christmas. We want to celebrate those times, this season of life that we're in. But Christmas 2009 was a very significant one for me. And the reason being was I just finished my university degree. I just finished it, got my results, I had passed, which is great. I had my degree, and it was a year of anticipation coming up. 2010 was a year of anticipation. What could I do with this degree? Where could I work? What would the year look like for me moving forward? So it was this air of anticipation about the Christmas time 2009 going into 2010. Well, the year 2010 actually got off to a comedic start, as it were, because in that period after Christmas, New Year, the summertime, it's a nice time of year, isn't it? Things slow down, it's a bit less stressful, we can relax, we can take our time, have to rush around everywhere. I'm sure you can acknowledge that time of year is a nice one. Well, we had a barbecue this particular year for a group of friends from our old church, significant people in our life, just to get together, have a barbecue, go for a swim at my parents' place where I was living at the time, because it was a while back now, and just enjoy the summertime. And so we did that. My sister and I put an event on Facebook to invite our friends along to it. And it was a great day. It actually became a very infamous day amongst our friends and a day we bring up often. And the reason being is because we were all in the pool enjoying ourselves, having a great time frolicking around. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this man just rocks up. Now, my instinct, I thought my dad had just invited someone to fix the pool because there was issues with the pool. I thought he was here to do that. And then he comes up to the gate and he goes, "Hey, all, I'll just go get my swimmers on." And everyone looked at each other and said, "Who is this guy?" We had no clue who this man was, except for one of our friends who studied up in Bible college with this guy many, many years ago. To cut a long story short, he just found the event on Facebook and thought he would invite himself along to our pool party in summer. And we were looking at each other like, "Wow, okay, if that's what's going to happen here, let's just go with it." And maybe he'll realize after a couple of hours he's outstayed his welcome and then he'll head off. But he didn't. He lingered. He stayed around the whole time that we had this party. It was a whole day thing. He stayed the whole entire time. Once again, an infamous event in our friends, in our history of our friendship. We always bring this up as just a weird event. He was a kind of guy that needed some friends, so we went along with it. But again, we thought after a while he might head off, but he didn't. He lingered. He stayed the whole time. And so today we're talking about a kind of lingering that is actually welcome, because this lingering was not welcome. Amen? We went with it, but it wasn't a welcoming lingering. The lingering that we're talking about here today is by God himself. Again, a welcomed lingering. Again, we're in a series called What Brings You Here? And we've been asking the question of God, what brings you here? Again, think about when your boss rocks up in your office. What are you doing here? What brings you here? It's a timely series on the back of our Genesis series where we looked at the unfolding plans and purposes of God, and also we've looked at how humanity have turned their backs on him and how God has been unfolding his plans to redeem this world. And this series in the book of Exodus comes directly after Genesis. We see three times God say to his people, he is going to come down. Three times he says, "I'm coming down." And last week, Cheryl shared about how he came down to rescue us, to save us, to redeem us ultimately. And we looked at, in particular, how in that moment, again, God said that he was coming down to rescue. And we see how he lives up to that. He does rescue us. And then over the next 16 chapters of the book of Exodus, we see this tremendous struggle between the nation of Israel and the Egyptian Empire, in particular Pharaoh, who are in captivity at the hands of Pharaoh. And there's this tremendous struggle to be rescued, to be redeemed from that slavery, from that captivity. Moses would be the person ultimately that God chooses to lead his people out of captivity, as we probably know. And you can probably forgive the nation of Israel when God actually does do that. He does rescue them. He does bring them out of slavery. You can forgive them to think, okay, God, thanks for saving us. Thanks for redeeming us. We've got it from here. You can go do your thing. Go rescue other people. I've got it from here. Sometimes we do that too, don't we? It's all right, God, I've got it from here. I know what I'm doing. You don't need to hang around. But that's not what happens, does it? If we read the passages in Exodus, we see that God lingers. He hangs around. He's not going anywhere. But unlike my friend from that barbecue all those years ago, again, this is a welcomed lingerer. We want God. The nation of Israel wants God to hang around, amen? Because he's rescued them from slavery. And what we come to see in Exodus 19, verse 3 to 6 in particular, is that God has a purpose in his rescuing. What we see is that God just isn't a rescuer. He doesn't just save people. He does it for a purpose. And that purpose is to initiate relationship with us. God rescues us, he redeems us because he wants relationship with us, amen? And the way in which he initiates that relationship with us is through covenant, which we looked at a few weeks back. But after everything's settled down, as God redeems and saves his people from slavery, as he uses Moses to do that, this is what he says to the nation of Israel in Exodus 19, verse 3 to 6, once again. This is what you have to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. For you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you out to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the God that we serve? Amen. I'm going to bring you out on eagle's wings. This is what he did. What a beautiful picture that this paints about who God is and the God that we serve. But what we see again from this passage is that he's more than just a rescuer. He is so much more than that. His desire again is to initiate relationship with his people. And this again reinforces another characteristic of God that we sometimes forget, I believe, is that he's not a God who's just out there doing his thing. He's actually a God of love. He's a relational God who desires a connection with each and every one of us. And what God is proposing here to his people is that they would be bound together as one. That when people look to them as a nation, that they would know that they are the people that worship Yahweh. He is an intimate connection that he wants to share with his people, that they would identify themselves with him, so much so that again, when people look at them, they know that they worship Yahweh, those people. And again, the way in which that he does this is through covenant. And we looked at this a few weeks ago. A covenant, it's a formal, serious, binding, a long-lasting relationship between two parties. We spoke about the first covenant a few weeks ago that God makes, and that's with Abraham. That was the start of this journey of redemption, if you were. This was the start of it. And then this is the second instance that we see here with the nation of Israel, Abraham's own flesh and blood. God promised to make Abraham's name great, didn't he? As we looked at in Genesis. He promised to make his descendants as numerous as the sand in the seashore. as numerous in the stars in the sky. This is an instance where we see God living up to the promise that he made to Abraham. This instance, God reveals himself as the faithful, loving God that we know. And we spoke about how, for those who weren't here, a modern example of a covenant is a marriage ceremony. Amen? A marriage. That's a modern example of a covenant when two people make a commitment to one another, to love and to serve one another for the rest of their lives. When a man and woman stand before a group of people, they make a vow to one another again in sickness and in health. This is a covenant between a man and a woman. And the commitment that is made is an unconditional one. This is the difference here. A marriage is not a contractual agreement, is it? That's what it's become in our world, I guess. When one party doesn't live up to one of the vows that they make, that's the end of it. It's like a contract. No, it should be unconditional. That even if one party breaks the promise or a promise that they have made, breaks a vow, the relationship shouldn't end there. God's ideal for marriage is that we work at it because it's difficult. Amen? When two people come together, sinful people, things are going to happen that's going to upset either party. But the beauty of marriage is that we work at it. We get it, keep working at it. And again, it's not a contract. It's an unconditional commitment. That's God's ideal for marriage. That's how he intended it to be. And another thing that we looked at that week is a quote by Mark Sayers where he says, humans need a covenant, for without it, we drown in our freedoms. Covenant is an accountability measure as well. It provides the boundaries for life that we are all called to live within. The realms of God's will, when we go outside of God's will, that is when not pleasant stuff happens. Amen? We've all sinned here. We've all fallen. The Bible says that. You and I know that when we step outside the realms of God's will for our lives, it's not pretty. That's what sin is. But if we focus on the true essence of covenant again, it's a relational thing. A bond between two parties committing their lives to one another. In its essence, as we spoke about, covenant is a relational thing. And so God asked Moses to go back to the people to initiate covenant with him, to be involved with him, to identify with him, ultimately to share in an intimate relationship with the creator of this world. But what we need to realize and note, I believe, is that this is an invitation, amen? He doesn't force this upon them. He invites them into relationship with him. And the beautiful thing about our God, which we'll come to see, is that he invites each and every one of us into relationship with him through the life, death, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant. We are people under the new covenant. Amen? Praise God. That is what ultimately Christmas is all about. He invites each and every one of us into relationship with him. And so this is the question before us here today. Have you accepted this invitation to covenant with him? Have you said yes to Jesus, as it were? Have you accepted him into your life? For those who have accepted this invitation, as we've looked at all year, with this invitation comes a relationship, praise God, but also another invitation, an invitation to partner with him, amen? There's things for us to do. We don't just get the ticket to heaven in our back pocket and that's it. No, we are given an invitation to partner with the creator of this world. First and foremost, God initiates relationship with us, and then he initiates partnership with us. And Moses puts this proposal to the people in verses 7 to 8 of Exodus 19 once again. So Moses went back and he summoned the elders of the people, set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. And what did they say? They said no. No. Just trying to make sure you're all awake. What did they say? They said yes. Praise God that they did. We wouldn't be here if they said no. Probably would have been the end of humanity as we know it. They said yes. They wanted a relationship with God. Why? Because He is such a loving, personable God. They saw the majestic ways that He operated. They saw the supremacy of Him as He rescued them out of Israel, out of Egypt, sorry. They said yes. Because when you see what God is like, when you understand who He is and His character, you won't be able to help yourself but say yes, amen. They said yes, and praise God that they did. Every time someone says yes to God, did you realize this? There's a party in heaven, amen. Scripture says there's a celebration in heaven. It's a beautiful thing when people say yes to God, because it means that the person has put their wholehearted trust, their wholehearted dependence on God. They've acknowledged the power that He has, the position that He has, the God that He is. That is a beautiful thing when people say yes to God. And that is what Israel do in answering yes. They have seen Him again rescue them. They have seen the incredible God that He is, and they want that kind of relationship with Him. And it's the same when someone becomes engaged or a couple become engaged, isn't it? Have you seen the joy that comes out of a woman's mouth when she says yes to being asked to marry a man? Have you seen that before? Women, have you experienced that joy? I saw a video the other day where the woman just couldn't believe it. There was so much joy on her face. She was crying with excitement. Hopefully you had that experience too. Your husband said, ask you to marry them. But that's what happens when a woman says yes. And what happens after that? What comes after they say yes? There's preparations for what? We don't know. We've never been married, some of us. What happens after that? Exactly. Preparations for the marriage ceremony, amen? That's what happens next. And that's what we see in the rest of this chapter, the preparations for the ceremony between Israel and God, the preparations, getting things ready for this incredible ceremony, which leads to God coming down to them. In verse 20, it says, "The Lord descended onto the top of Mount Sinai, called Moses to the top of the mountain, and so Moses went up." God comes down to His people. And Moses goes up to Him. And then verses or chapters 20 to 24 reveal to us what this ceremony looks like. Chapters 20 to 24, if you go back and read them, it outlines this covenantal ceremony, all the bells and whistles of what happened. It really is something to behold and a defining moment in Israel's history, but also the whole entire world as well. And so I come back to the question I asked earlier, what's this got to do with Christmas? You're probably wondering. I thought Moses was in that part of the Bible. Jesus is here. What's this got to do with Christmas? Good question. I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. Because what happens before the actual wedding ceremony? Anyone realize? Anyone know? There's an important event that is momentous as well. Well, it was in our lives anyway. The wedding rehearsal. Yeah. Who had a wedding rehearsal here when they got married? I did. I enjoyed it. It was much less stressful than the actual wedding day, let me tell you. So much more relaxed. People are themselves. There's no real formality about it. I wish that was the actual wedding. That would have been a bit of fun. Particularly Rick, who married us. Those who have met Rick, you can imagine what he would have been like to be the celebrant. And I really enjoyed it. But this ceremony and covenant, this moment, it's only really shadowing the ceremony that was to come, amen? It's a wedding rehearsal for the main event. This ceremony in Exodus 20 to 24 and what we've been looking at, it's getting ready, it's anticipating. Just like I was anticipating what 2010 will bring, and just like we're anticipating what 2024 will bring. It's hard to think we're at 2024. Sounds very futuristic, doesn't it? But this is the wedding rehearsal for the big thing. Matthew 1:21 to 23 says, "She will give birth to a son, And you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Finally, this Messiah figure had arrived. Amen. Praise God. This is what Israel had been anticipating for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And now in this moment, here he is. He has arrived, the Messiah, not just for Israel, but for the whole entire world. It was the coming of the great bridegroom. And Cheryl explained to us last week how the angel of the Lord, as we know the story, it told Joseph to call the baby Jesus because it means what? What does Jesus mean? Do you remember? God who saves. Jesus derives from Joshua, the Hebrew Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. Jesus saves. Yeshua, Joshua. And now two verses later, Matthew quotes the prophet Isaiah, which says, a virgin will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Yeah, I often wondered, I was thinking about this before I even came to the sermon. He gets told to call him Jesus, yet here it says that he'll be called Emmanuel. What's the go with that? Well, as we've said all along, what today is all about is to help us realize that he's just not just a rescuing God, amen? Because Emmanuel means what? God with us. He rescues for a purpose. And that purpose is to share in a relationship with each and every one of us, amen? That's the purpose why he came. Not just to save us and then go, have fun, do whatever you want. No, to have a relationship with us. And for us to invest in that relationship, to continue to grow in our intimacy, our knowledge, our understanding of who God is. He breaks into our existence. He breaks into our experiences. He breaks into the chaos of the world around us. And he does that so that we would come to accept him. And in doing so, ultimately be unleashed into freedom and belonging. Amen. He initiates relationship. He initiates partnership, and he does so that we can be unleashed into freedom of sin and suffering and oppression and death, free, unleashed into freedom, but also into belonging. With the covenanting comes belonging, because becoming a follower of Jesus, again, is so much more than just being saved. Unfortunately, we limit our theology sometimes to that, don't we? Without realizing the implications of that rescuing, of that redemption. In 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10 sums it up brilliantly, I reckon. But you are a chosen people, he says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. Praise Jesus. Once that terminology, those ideas, those notions, that understanding was reserved to the nation of Israel. But because of life, the life, death, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is now for each and every one of us too. Amen. Because when you accept Jesus into your life, you become his special possession. Amen. You become a royal priesthood. You have a purpose. You have belonging. All of these notions that 1 Peter speaks about, they evoke this notion of being accepted, of belonging, a kind of belonging that brings it with it hope, joy, peace, which is what Christmas truly is all about, amen? That's what comes into our lives when we accept Jesus as Lord. Concepts and virtues that, it must be said, are very foreign to us this day and age, particularly over the last few years, particularly in the year that we've had. When we look at the world around us, love, joy, peace doesn't really seem to be the flavor of the month, does it? But that's where the partnership comes into it, amen? We are called to be those things in this world. Amen. We are called to be his hands and feet, to bring the love, to bring the joy, to bring the peace. For we are more than just simply set free. We are given a purpose. That's part of our identity, a royal identity at that. A people belonging to God. A people whose soul's purpose in belonging to him is to therefore extend the invitation of relationship to others. Amen. Just like when you have a well-meaning friend who wants to set their friend up with a man or woman, with the hope that they will hopefully start to initiate a relationship with them and then ultimately come to make covenant with one another, get married. Who are you going to set up with Jesus this Christmas? If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've accepted him into your life, who are you going to extend the invitation to? Who are you going to set up with Jesus? That's the picture here, amen? Of what partnership truly looks like. Because at the end of the day, we worship a God who dared to rescue us generously and genuinely because he loves us. And so what is that love evoking you to do? What is that redemption evoking you to do? But not only that, he chose to linger with us, amen, in a good way. And thank goodness he did. He doesn't just want us to get out of trouble, he wants us to come into an intimate personal relationship with him. That's the God that we serve. And so again, as we finish up here today, what is your response to that reality? How are you responding to Jesus in this moment? Can I pray that if you haven't said yes to Jesus, with the joy of a woman when she says yes to her man to marry him, that you would come to that place, amen? Because Jesus is asking you, would you come into a relationship with me? Do you want to come to know me? I'm asking you, I'm inviting you. What are we saying to Jesus? Yes, no, maybe. Let me tell you, when you come to know who God truly is and how much he loves you and I, it should evoke us to say yes. But if you have accepted Jesus, if you have said yes to him, then I want to pray as well for you that you would have the boldness this Christmas, the courage this Christmas to continue to set people up with him, amen? To invite others to come into a meaningful personal relationship with the creator of this world. Let's pray. Well, Father God, as the team come back up to lead us in one final song, as they come back up to lead us in this song, Jesus Strong and Kind, Lord, I pray that as these words are spoken over us, that we, as we sing these words, that they would remind us, Lord God, of the God that we serve. That first and foremost, yes, you are strong. You have the power to redeem us, to rescue us, to intervene in any situation that we are going through in our life, whether it is losing our results or the school losing our results and not getting a HSC mark back as we prayed earlier for Flynn. If it is sickness, if it is a broken down relationship, Lord God, whatever the case may be, we first and foremost acknowledge you, God, as a God who is strong enough to intervene into those situations and to use them to glorify yourself, to rescue, to redeem us, to save us. But not only that, we also pray and thank you, Lord God, that you are kind to us, that you love us, and that you want a meaningful relationship with each and every one of us. And so, Lord, as we remind ourselves of that, as we sing this final song, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in our lives and that those who have not said yes to you just now or at any stage in their life, that they will come to a place where they can say, yes, Lord, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to accept you into my life. And for those of us who have, that we would have the courage, the boldness continually to not just invite people to have a relationship with you, but be agents of change and transformation in this world so that we can see this world transformed to its rightful image. Bless us now as we sing this final song together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us.